Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Can't find the fellow.
I deliberately was silent.
At least it was me that time and not you.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Jeff Thomas, Lucy V. Freeman and our executive director, Cooper. Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
Well, I don't know what the hell Kate puts in that chai, but I am definitely up for some of it, whatever it is. Rex can't get enough of the stuff. He's on about three pints a day. This is admittedly because he's trying to restore feeling to his hypothermic limbs, and he appears to be living in the canal, not on it. Not for long, though. Kate, with her customary entitlement, happily moved him into Jacob's house without asking him. It's fine, though. I'm sure that someone as laid back and chilled as Jacob won't have a problem with that. Not only his international playboy brother, but also a large, damp taxi driver. Smashing. There are certain phrases in Ambridge that mean the exact opposite of what they are intended to mean. Don't worry, I'll sort it, categorically means I'm about to make a huge cock up here and the consequences will stagger humanity. Rex said this about the absolute shit show that Derek the Viking was turning Jakob's home into. This just before he noticed that Eric preferred to serve food, or what was referred to throughout as nibbles, straight onto the coffee table rather than via the medium of a plate. This particular episode was sponsored by the word nibble. No, not Eric and Krusty, but all of them talking endlessly about nibbles without specifying which sort. Do you say that in normal life? Would you like a nibble? Do you just say, would you like a crisp or peanuts or olives or those strange things that Harriet eats? Anyway, St. Rex the Holy Martyr, who has literally known Eric for 24 hours, was being extremely rude to him, especially when he was living rent-free in Jakob's house without him even knowing. Poor old Brad has been dumped like a broken washing machine on the bypass by Paige. The bit I didn't get was, what's happened to Mia? Is he not interested anymore now he's realised that she's only interested in him for his ability to write cars not this way on a sign nailed to a tree? The tiresome Tony's guitar story has been put to bed, with Leonard leaping to the rescue once again and repairing something that everyone was quite delighted to see the back of. Tony finally coughed up that he'd never wanted the sodding thing in the first place and was going to bequeath it to Mango, the censuring that another generation will suffer. Leonard then got his beady eye on Lillian's knackered clock. He's a one-man repair shop. Next week, the King visits Tony and Leonard in their workshop and asks them to repair the Koh-i-Noor diamond. Pop it down there on the counter, Your Majesty, and we'll have a look once we've sorted out Lillian's clock and Jazza's vasectomy. Pop your trousers down, Jazza, just hop up on here next to the Ollerton Junction and we'll have a bit of a delve. Over at the shop, Captain Peacock and Mrs. Slocum were fannying around, upselling and cross-selling. Jimus was reluctant to hand over control of the till to Justin, especially when faced with Rex and his intractable adherence to his shopping list. Justin, however, was so effective that poor Rex went in for some floor cleaner and came out with a case of Bordeaux, a wheel of brie and a Bentley Continental. We popped over to Lee and Helen's. Oh, we haven't heard them for ages. Hasn't it been nice? But we found ourselves in the dubious position of listening to Helen giving legal advice to Lee, who was crying unrealistically. Tony then waded in and had the bright idea of the girls moving in with Helen, which ensured Helen then passively aggressively tore him a new one. It's not that I don't want them to live with me, Dad. It's just that Lee won't be able to look after my children if he's looking after his own, and how is that fair? Kate, with the gruesome glee some people have at being able to tell people bad news, went cantering off to find Krusty and break it to her that Eric the Viking had paddled off in his longboat. Krusty, who won't be able to sit down without wincing for a week and is now mainlining Caniston, said that was fine, she knew, and it was all great, before hobbling off back into the rewilding office. Stella and Brian had a boring chat about farm tech, and I was happily nodding off until Stella kept referring to a new disc drill, which I heard as a nudist drill, and that woke me up with a start. I was wondering where the hell it went and where Home Farm would get all the nudists. Brian keeps talking to Stella the way he talks to Jenny when she asks for a new kitchen. No, darling, we simply don't have the money. I'm not sure he grasps she's farm manager, but she's a woman. So clearly she's after my money for her frivolous schemes. If it wasn't a nudist drill, it would be a white wine fridge or a spa weekend. Oh, you naughty girls and your silly whims. Stella said to him, you know the hidden hazards of drilling, Brian. Never was a truer word spoken, Stella. The end.
Oh, your week was so much more fun than the actual
You
week.
Didn't like this week at all, did you?
No, I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it. It's just mind. There seemed to be a whole episode in a shop. Yeah. People going, hello, can I buy this? No, can you buy this and this? Bye. I just couldn't. And then I was like, because I completely zoned out. And then I thought, oh, I better listen back. And then I thought, I'm not going to waste 15 minutes listening to Postman Pat in his shop. Yeah, no, it was fine. It was just fine, wasn't it? Fine, right, basically. Yeah, fine. I didn't mind it. It was just a bit of a filler week. I mean, obviously, there's the new exciting... Lee and Helen are just so funny. I loved Helen though. But it's too bloody right. He's moved in so she can get more childcare, etc., etc. I wouldn't want his teenagers moving in either. That wasn't part of the deal. So I'm totally on Helen's side. Send them to California. They don't want to be with... Also, Lee, come on. Of course they don't want to live with you. Yeah. And Helen and those smelly boys. Mm. They want to go to San Fran, baby.
And also, if I was them, those children are going to be disturbed. I would not want my, you know, I wouldn't want to live with them.
It's like, can you imagine putting it to Aisha? Could the girls come and live with us and the boys who are the son of a potential murdering
and one of them who
psychopath.
Witnessed his mother stabbing
Also, their stepmother has stabbed her partner in the past.
But it will all be fine.
Also, there's not enough room in the house. But apart from that, and there's no sunshine, but apart from that... And all our teeth are bad. But apart from that,
and also,
they'll have a great time.
I did think, I mean... I was conflicted, deeply conflicted here because, I heartily disliked a woman telling another woman that she couldn't take up a fantastic career opportunity.
Especially, but Helen didn't
No, at first she was sort of supporting Lee.
Yeah.
And then I thought, Helen, you have never worked for anybody that wasn't your mum. You know, you work 10 yards away from where you live. And then when she spoke to Tony, she did say, this is an amazing opportunity.
And I was like, good for you. This is completely
But then I also
the right
thought, are you just faking this because you just don't want the girls? It's a bit of a, you know, are you genuinely concerned about her missing a job opportunity or do you just not want them living with you?
No, 80% of the other bit.
A little bit from column A, a little bit from column B.
But, yeah, completely. But I was 100% Helen, in Helen. Like, you know, I feel really terrible for Lee. It must be awful. Like, I wouldn't, you know, I'd fight tooth and nail to, you know, not
to get rid
lose
of your
my
job.
Kids.
Oh, no, to go.
sorry, the other one. but... I would also not want... I'd be like, well, Look, let's put this in... Let's think of the bigger picture. Is Aisha going to get more money?
Is it Alicia?
So for the girls, are they going to have a... Are they going to get better... I don't know, go to a better uni or have a better... Like, that's the thing. Helen's point is... You actually don't know even the half of this yet. Well, you've got to sit down and find out what the plan is. And presumably, Lee does have to give his permission one way or the other.
Mm.
And also, just ask the girl, of course, the girls aren't going to go, oh, we want to stay in England.
Yeah.
But
teenagers do.
Yeah, they got friends. Yeah, they got friends. Here,
because
haven't they?
For them, their peer group is more important than anything.
Yes, 'tis true that they're sort of the wrong age to move in a way, aren't they? But also Helen's monologue about, you know, because she's going to a tech company and they're really going to look after her. Well, my friend moved to America to work for a tech company and it hasn't been a fun experience at all. Because they don't get any holiday.
No.
They don't get any benefits. Well, they get private health insurance, but you still... But the private health insurance, the private health sector is like the NHS, isn't it, over there? And you still can't get an appointment. Or
And also they want... Blood. Companies like that expect blood. They expect you to be, because you're earning this extortionate salary and living in a supposedly amazing place.
Exactly.
They want, you're supposed to be available, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. My friend ain't happy over there. Mm. But on the other hand, there's a bit of more sunshine.
Yeah.
And you know, well, whatever. It's actually a clever storyline, isn't it? It's a very... I think it's a really good little spanner in the works.
I really liked Tony, though, suddenly realising that
what he's a twat.
So well-meaningly wading in and then thinking, it's a dawning realisation of,
Lee is so thick. He's like, what? Do you think I should ask them what they want? Do you think that... And then he was like, couldn't believe that someone had said they might want to be with him instead.
Yeah.
Do you think they actually want to stay with me?
Or that I have some say in this, you know. And she said, you need to be talking to a solicitor. And he was like, a solicitor? What is that?
I know. He's like, when he tells
her... Is it a lady with a pen? I will find a lady with a pen. No doubt Usha will. No, that'll be another thing that Usha doesn't specialise in. Oh, no, sorry, that's not really.
Mm. When he told Helen he'd already sought legal advice, you could just see her eyes rolling and her head in her hands. Oh, my God. How much have you forked out already, Lee? What did you sign without...
Was it a guitar, Lee, or was it just a man at the bus stop?
Was it someone who emailed you with a special Google 100347z.com email address, Lee?
Yes, and they're going to transfer all their relatives' legacy to me. It's amazing. All my legal costs will be paid. So I've just given them your sort code, Helen, and your date of birth and mother's maiden name.
But I think this is good, because Helen and Lee needed to be livened up a bit, didn't they? And also, this is Helen and Lee, we've never seen the cracks, which, you know, because obviously there have been, it was sort of too good to be true, and everything's been plastered over with very thin plasters.
Well, it was Helen was living with an eldest son.
Exactly. Yeah. And now
being a little bit inconvenient, and that's, you know, going to... Also, does Lee do any form of vocal warm-up before he starts recording? Do you think
he's sounding a bit... I quite like that sort of crack in his voice, though.
But it's permanent. Helen. You know, there's no difference between, I've put the kettle on. I am in despair. And when he was trying to cry, he was like...
Oh, so mean. I actually really felt for him when he was crying.
But you could just hear him going, just shutting off your own vocal cords.
Well, I wonder if it's curtains for Lee, because he might end up having to just follow them out there.
Yeah.
He might end up getting if I was Lee, I'd be looking at the bigger picture as well.
But how can he get a job out there?
I mean, could he go and work as a care home over there?
Fitness instructors.
No, he's not in even a fit. No, he's like a... he's a physiotherapist. Yeah, physio. I can't say the word. Physiotherapist he is.
Yes.
Physiotherapist. I haven't done my vocal warm-up today, Lucy. It's hard to speak.
It's all right,
I didn't mind, Lee. I thought he was quite convincing. Mm. But I just really, really like the contrast between the two of them. No, and it was good, wasn't it?
Helen just can't do proper emotion when it doesn't involve her. What about me?
That's why I've always, always stuck up for Helen, because she is so consistent. She is selfish, but she doesn't pretend not to be selfish. Yeah. She's always putting herself first, but in a sort of, why the hell shouldn't I?
Yeah.
And she's never apologised for it. So I don't mind. I've always liked that about her.
Mm.
Like, you know, I felt like I would, because I think I'm probably a very selfish person, and I would have felt exactly like her this week. There's no bloody way if Rufus told, not that he's got stepkids, for all I know he has. But if he said they had to come and live with us, and then I've suddenly got six, I'd be like, just no.
Yeah.
Ain't happening. You can go, and but I'm not I'm not taking you on anymore, thanks.
Well, it's like those, you know, in Dickens or in those sort of Victorian novels, it's like the mother, the saintly mother dies and the father gets horrible stepmother,
yeah,
who comes into the house and suddenly has with to her deal own with kids. Eight children, you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You think, no wonder she's a cow.
Exactly.
Of course exactly. She doesn't love them. She doesn't even know them.
Oh, Lucy, you're totally right.
There's this assumption of kind of, but you're a woman and a mother, therefore you have to love all children. And
because
you think,
the
I love my dog. It yes. doesn't mean I love dogs that are trying to kill me.
Especially if the child is, you know, 13 when it comes
yeah,
into your house.
Yeah, and resentful and everything
hates
else.
You.
Yeah.
And yeah. actually, we know that those girls don't love Helen.
Because she threw away the bracelet. Oh, lest we forget. Yes.
So, what is going to happen? I'm quite excited. But I found, yeah, even though...
She's a very good actress, though. You could practically
Helen.
See. Yeah.
Yeah,
you could,
it totally...
I could visualise the kind of the... Where she's... The competing emotions of her going,
yeah.
Oh, Lee, I'm so
me
sorry.
Too.
And also, oh, my God, what does this mean for
yeah.
me?
Yeah, she's absolutely top-notch, Helen, as an actress. Yeah, and I've always thought she's a sound character and a selfish one, but I'm totally in her camp.
Mm. I don't think you're selfish. Why do you think you're selfish?
Yeah, I am. Of course, I think everyone's a bit selfish, aren't they? I mean, not necessarily selfish for myself, but I'd put my own kids before I put anyone else's kids. You know,
well,
that
that's
sort
just
of thing.
That's yeah. just primal. You know,
yeah, yeah,
survival, isn't it? That's not selfishness.
No, but that's what Helen's doing, you know.
Well, you can pretend to be little Nell and the little friend of all the world and do all that, but it won't work. It's
exactly.
not
exactly.
You know...
And people are so hypocritical because you know, ultimately you are. I guess it's sort of in your DNA. You're the lion. What is it? My mother lion.
Yeah.
What's the word? You know, that's a thing, isn't it? You,
yeah.
Anyway, look, this isn't Hattie on the couch.
Sorry.
This is... let's talk about nudist drills.
Honestly, twice I thought, what the hell is that?
That's so funny, Lucy.
I had such a strange image in my head. I was thinking, of all the... If you're going to use some strange technical term, that's a really silly one to pick. And then I was like, oh.
But it's so funny. That's exactly how I felt about this week. I think the only conversation I actually listened to was... Helen and Lee, you know, that all that drama. The rest of the week, I just sort of had the volume down
yeah,
quite a lot.
Just like whitewash going on in the background.
It was a bit. Just windscreen wipers, stuff happening. But I knew I didn't have to listen too hard.
No, nothing to worry about.
Because it wasn't going to change anything for next week.
My mum absolutely loved the Justin and Jim. She called it the Justin and Jimmis show in the shop. She really, really liked it.
Wow.
So I think it's, I mean, I didn't mind it, but it didn't get us anywhere. But maybe I think, you know, for the people that like that kind of...
Right.
The banter, well, it is like Norris yeah. and Thingy in the yeah. Coronation Street shop. If you enjoy that sort of stuff and you're happy listening to that, then,
yeah.
you know, it was great. It was yeah. a bonanza week.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, it wasn't up my street, but it was up your mum's.
up your mum's.
Sorry, gosh, that didn't come out quite right. but also, I actually found Jim and Justin sounded quite similar, didn't they? It took me a while to sort of tune my ear into who was saying
yeah.
what, because they've got quite similar voices.
When we cut back, to halfway through when he was trying to persuade someone else to buy something, then it was. I was thinking, hang on, I was thinking, which one's this? Because it was Jim was trying to sound like Justin. So that
yes.
didn't help at all.
Yes, it was quite got a bit muddled up.
I honestly think though you can't really describe your brilliant sales techniques when you're using them on Rex, who you could persuade to, you know, walk naked round the green, couldn't you? Really?
That's the thing. It wasn't exactly Dragon's Den, was it? There wasn't much persuading going on. He just said, I think, also, baking powder is about 49p, isn't
yes.
it? It's not.
Yes.
I mean,
no.
He wasn't persuading him to buy
no.
a Nintendo Switch.
No. I bet they've got them in the shop. Yeah. Big piles of them.
How about renting a video from one of our shelves?
But Rex is such a plonker.
He really
isn't
is.
He? He's a prat. Why was he being so horrible to Eric when Eric is the brother of the person who owns
in
that
whose
place.
House he is illegally staying or
it's
unknowingly staying.
Unbelievable. It's none of his freaking business what Eric does with the carpet.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, he was so bloody rude. If I was Eric, I'd have just been like, can you please leave?
Yeah.
Because
who
I
are
mean,
you again?
At least I actually asked Jakob if I could come and stay. It was so weird. And then they were all matey-matey. But, I mean, Rex was such a
dick. Well, it was supposed
dick.
To be Rex projecting his annoyance with Toby onto Eric. That's what he said.
But it was
far too far. I mean, Rex has got some social graces. He'd literally met the man the afternoon before. And then Eric was going, Rex, are you cross with me? And all this stuff. And I was thinking, Eric would go, do you know what, mate? If you can't be polite,
I'll see you later. Also, it's a stain in the grouting. I mean, is it that important? And also, just don't worry about it. Go and if you're that worried about it, buy Jakob a lovely present to say thank you. It was all so petty. It annoyed me a bit.
Yeah,
but I'm glad that Kirsty had a great time.
Yes.
I was so funny. Kate was like, did you know that he's gone? I'm so sorry, Kirsty. Why does it always
How sad are you,
you
feeling on a scale of 1 to 10? Because I'd like to know.
I mean, I do have a boy. I've had a boyfriend for over 3 years now. But
do you want to know my theory about that?
Oh, yeah. Go on. Yeah.
Jakob is going to have shagged that vet lady, the equine specialist that he went to see. You know, he was supposed to come home and then he didn't. He said he was staying on for longer because he was going to see the friend of his who's an equine specialist. Yes. And I think he's going to bonk her at bonk. I'm so 90s. And then have it off with. And then he's going to come back and Kate's going to say, I so missed you. You know, she was going on about, I can't wait to see him, which is always the death knell. You know, it's all over when someone says that.
Oh, no.
And then he's going to have... Yeah.
Oh, I really hope not. Or maybe.
And then she's going to go to South Africa.
Yes, that's got to happen, hasn't
because
it?
Because of Nolly.
Unless Nolly's going to come over again.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's definitely around, isn't she, as an actor? And it'd be really nice to hear her again.
Yep.
Or it'd be even better if they could go to South Africa and do a bit of recording there.
That's not going to happen.
Oh, it'd be good if it did, though. Maybe then we could go to South Africa and do a special Ambridge on
the
couch.
That would be good.
Oh, I'd love to go to
that
South Africa.
That would be good. Me too.
That would be really nice. I really fancy some sunshine at the moment, Lucy.
Oh, no.
Also, I've been watching... Have you watched White Lotus?
No, but it's on my list.
Because I saved the second series for January because I knew it would cheer me up. And it cheered me up so much, but now I finished... I'm so depressed. I think that's why I didn't love this week at the Archers because I was like, I've got the Archers, but it's not set on a beach.
Listening to the noise of the rain hammering on the narrow boat roof.
So I've just been really depressed. I just need to see sunshine on the telly. In fact, I needed to then I was like, what can I watch that's got loads of sun in it? Because... You know, I love Happy Valley. I love Vicky McClure dramas, but everything's so depressing. I want something with
Isn't
sunshine.
Isn't there a show that's got Ralph Little in it when he's on a Caribbean island?
Oh, is that what? Oh, A Knives Out. Is that one? The film?
No.
Oh.
It started off with someone else and then it turned into Ralph Little.
Oh, I know what you mean. Oh, yeah, I should watch... I can't watch that. Death in Paradise.
Oh, yes. Is that Midsummer Murders, but summer?
Yeah.
Oh,
my mum is like...
With a Hawaiian shirt.
When my mum was alive, it was my mum and dad's favourite programme. Oh, right. And I was always so scathing about it. What if I end up being its biggest fan?
Well, maybe you should watch it as a tribute to your mum.
Actually, that's not a bad idea. Yay. Maybe I'll watch the early ones.
Yes.
And also, they used to watch that
Italian...
Because
also in the early ones, you can suspend disbelief that there's this small Caribbean island in which everyone is murdered every week.
Yeah, but after 100 episodes.
Yeah, you're like, really? Where are they shipping in the new victims from?
Oh, that's not a bad idea. bad shout.
Ha.
And then there's one about the Italian detective, which is Montalbano or something.
Oh, Montalbano, I might watch that. Yeah.
Have you seen that?
With Rufus Sewell.
What? I thought it was Italian.
They remade it, I think, and they put Rufus Sewell in it. I love him.
Really?
Mm.
I would definitely watch that. I didn't know that.
Well, I might be talking bollocks, so check it.
Okay, I'm going to check that out. Okay, thanks. If anyone has any suggestions of like good and uplifting good stuff set in the Sunshine programmes, that would be good. Thanks. Not Holiday.
You could watch Place in the Sun where no one has any idea
that I don't Brexit's like stuff
happened
like that.
And they don't realise that they can't actually live in the houses that they've just bought. But anyway.
Anyway, sorry. Back to Sunny Ambridge.
I am very, very hungry because I haven't had any breakfast. I didn't have very much dinner. And this is
11:45.
Yes. And I had an email from Diana Pendrich about... Well, I did, but it was small. I don't know. I was a bit stressed last night, so I didn't eat very much.
Oh, Lucy.
Diana Pendrich has emailed about pork crackling, which is a disaster for me to read now, Diana.
Oh, is that because said I'd never read... I'd never cooked pork.
Yes.
And you told me how to do it.
She said, I have been reflecting on what you said last week about pork crackling and the top tip of doing the crackling separately. I suspect that is what my mother-in-law does. Her crackling is fantastic. However, another top tip is to roast your pork in a very shallow tin. My crackling picked up enormously when I started doing this. Just off to the butcher's, so I have stuff in for tomorrow's batch cooking-a-thon while I listen to your show. Keep up the great work.
Oh, okay. So the trick is put it in a shallow dish. Yes. Put it in a shallow roasting tin.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay.
And she's made me so hungry because I love pork crackling.
I'm not sure I'd fancy pork crackling now at 11:45 in the morning, but
I would.
Why didn't you have any breakfast, you silly sausage?
My friend in Glasgow says she'd eat that. What does she say? She'd eat the scabs off a dead horse.
Oh my God. That makes me think expression. It reminds me of your feet, which I don't. How are the feet,
well,
Lucy?
Well, did you see that appalling photo that lady posted on Twitter of her feet having used the same thing?
No, I did not. Because, you know, I'm having a bit of trouble with my Twitter.
Oh, so I will send you it. Do you want to see it now?
Yeah, send it me now on WhatsApp.
Okay.
Also, I did a picture of your feet and put it on my Instagram.
Did you?
I'll send you that. I'll send you that. You send me...
Why are my feet on your Instagram? This
because I just
weird.
Couldn't... I literally was... I wanted to do a picture to put a bit of content on and I couldn't think of anything else to draw apart from your feet.
Much of my feet have now come off. You could basically make another me out of the skin that's left. So there we are.
That's disgusting. Honestly,
it's
a big pile.
Very satisfying, though.
A big pile of skin.
Yeah.
Oh, that is gross, Lucy. What do you do with it? Can you put it on your compost? Or just fry it up. Serve it to Cooper.
Pork crackling. Mm.
This is better than squirrels.
You hurriedly put it in the bin and don't tell anyone about
okay,
it. That's
okay.
What you do.
Are you sending it me?
I am picture? Trying to find it.
Oh, okay. While you're trying to find that, let me just look at all the notes I made. Oh, I didn't make any notes this week. Sorry. Let me just rack my brains to try and remember what else happened that you didn't cover in the monologue. The guitar.
Yes.
Is that finished now? That's the dramatic storyline.
So. I
why was that even in what? Why
is guitar?
I was
really confused, not about the guitar storyline per se, but about how old Mango is.
Oh, good one. He must be.
Why am I so bad at remembering?
I'm trying to remember as well. Have they only got one child?
Yes.
Is there anyone? Okay, so I think he's probably seven.
Oh, okay. Because they said, he's tall for his age.
I mean, he was born pre-COVID, wasn't he? It was quite a long time ago, wasn't it?
Are you braced for this, Harriet? Because seriously.
Oh, yeah, okay. I know. I'm feeling a bit sick already. Go on.
Okay, I can only send you the Twitter link because I'm not clever enough to work out how to send the photo.
Okay, so. Okay, here we go. Whose feet am I going to... Oh, my God. Oh, Lucy. Oh, my God, I can't look at that.
I told you.
I'm going to be sick. I actually can't look at that. That's just too disgusting. I can't believe you sent it to me.
You asked me to! God's sake.
Oh my God, I didn't know it was so graphic. Oh my, I actually feel a bit.
She did put like, sorry if you're eating on the tweet.
I don't like feet. Feety,
and yet you just
skin.
Asked me to send you a photo of someone's tweet or someone's.
I'm sorry. But also, my WhatsApp, it's so annoying that... Oh, actually, you didn't send me... Oh, my God, I just opened it again by accident. I don't know how to get rid of it without looking at it.
Oh. Anyway, thank you, Joanna, for causing mayhem.
No, disgusting, yes. Joanna. I can't believe... I'm so sorry to... But I mean, Joanna, did that genuinely go on Twitter?
Yeah.
To millions of people.
Millions of people.
I wonder if she's got any... kinky DMs off the back of that. I mean, not
well, we had quite a few people going, oh God, I had to fast forward through you and Harriet talking about your feet. We had the opposite of that.
Yes, I mean, quite a few people were like, that was disgusting. Can you never talk about feet again? But we've ended up not only talking about feet, but, well, at least no one else could see that picture.
Yes.
Can I think maybe, just maybe avoid Lucy's Twitter feed for a while? If you don't accidentally want to come across it. There's something disgusting about skin. Dead skin. I know it's just atoms, whatever it is. Was it? What's skin? What is it? What is it, Lucy?
What is skin?
What
it is
it?
Cells,
what is it?
Isn't it?
Cells, that's the
cells
one.
Cells that
that's
die
the one.
And come
yes
off.
Yeah.
I quite like it. It's like
you
start
find it
shedding your skin in the springtime.
Yeah, some people do like that sort of satisfyingness of it. I just find it weird. It's like once I had stitches in my back and...
In your back?
Yeah, I had a mole removed when I was a kid, which was probably totally fine. But you know when people are paranoid about moles? And I had these stitches in my back and I can't think about them now without feeling totally sick. Don't like skinny stuff. Skin. Anyway, sorry. Where did we get to?
Pork crackling and
pork
feet.
That's what's made me. It all goes back to the pig trotters, Lucy. Yeah. Okay. So can we just not talk about pork crackling or feet or anything else that's not Archers related?
Okay.
Jenny and Lillian. So nothing happened, did it?
No.
Except that we know they're okay.
Yes.
But when was it then that somebody read ahead or you read ahead and saw that there was
this week coming.
Oh, okay. I wonder then if it's going to be quite a big week, seeing as this one was a sort of a gentle week.
Well, this week was Are You Being Served, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Apart from Lee, who was doing a poo for the whole week.
Oh, no, I know what else. Yeah, Leonard and the... clock.
Where are we going with this? And also, is Leonard having a relationship with Jill or is he her minicab driver? What is going on?
Well, he must be so bored as well because he's doing all these repairs. But is this next storyline going to be that he can't repair the tickety-tock and, you know, it turns out it's... I mean, yeah, what... I just didn't... I was, like, racking my brains. Mm. To work out whether the guitar story does have more longevity in the sort of consequences of Leonard becoming repair shop.
That it was David had written the letter saying, I really want a guitar and Dad is an arsehole. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the rustling is Harriet, who is wearing a coat because she's in her office.
Oh, can you hear it?
Crazy. Only a little bit when you sort of shift around. No, it's fine. I'm just telling people what it is.
It's like I've got Cooper in my studio because there's just sort of right background noise. Yeah, it's just the rustling of my coat. Yes.
I am sad that you are recording in a freezing cold.
It's fine. Honestly, I'm not like freezing with a coat on. I'm totally fine.
Okay.
It's just, you know, happens to be -1 outside and there's no heating in here. But I'm not like, you know.
It is bloody cold today. Yes, I forgot. Oh, yeah. I don't. The relation.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Relationship with Jill and Leonard, between Jill and Leonard, now seems to have shifted completely and is not being addressed at all.
Yeah, yeah, it's sort of forgotten about. Leonard's just around now.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's probably, I guess, because we can't really make, you know, I guess Jill is coming in less frequently for records.
Yeah.
So we're just going to hit. Just like we only hear about Jenny through Brian now, we're only going to hear about Jill through Leonard, which is frustrating, actually. Yeah. But that's fine. I don't mind. I mean, Leonard's just sort of... I love the fact that he's always around. It's just, is he just... Can he have a different... Can he have a proper storyline?
Yes.
Rather than just bumbling around fixing things.
Yeah. He's like a character on CBeebies, isn't he?
It's funny. There are like, it's like a bit like, he's a bit like Brad because, you know, Leonard's a really likeable character. So nothing bad should ever happen to him. A bit like Brad, you know, like they're sort of not allowed to, because he's such a sweetie, they're not allowed to mess him up. Although, you know, even though he's had his heart broken by Paige or whatever, it'll be fine. There'll be some sweet ending to that, I'm sure.
Right.
But do you know what I mean? Certain characters are a bit untouchable now, aren't they?
Yeah.
You can't hurt them because there'd be too much backlash.
Yes.
You know,
Poor Brad.
I know, but do you know what? I love Brad and I love Chelsea, but I sometimes find their relationship a bit irritating.
Okay.
When it gets a bit like, oh, you're such a dick. Yeah. Oh, you're... I don't know. Like, I'm sure that is believable for teenage. I mean, it's definitely believable for kids, isn't it? But you sort of think, actually, after all they've been through now, can they just behave like normal, ease off a bit on that?
Just stop sanctifying them. Yeah, because the relationship, like teenagers.
Exactly, and it's sweet when you know when Chelsea was supporting Brad about.
Yeah,
but you know, but you see, maybe. Because Paige has gone, which is awful, isn't it? Maybe now there's sort of a way for Brad and Mia to get together, et cetera, et cetera.
My teenagers get on well, better than they did before.
Yeah.
If anybody hurts the other one, they are ferocious in their hatred of that person.
Yeah.
And they will defend each other to the ends of the earth. However, they bicker and criticise each other continually when they are together and calling each other, you know, or not like, you know, Tilly's going out to party and I say, oh, is William going? She goes, no. You know, it wouldn't, she'd rather die than have him there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but does she go,
all the time? All the time. Yeah. But so I think, yes, they've made it slightly too icky now and it's slightly too unbelievable when they say, no, you're lovely. That's such a nice thing
to say. Well, it's just, I mean, that maybe it's just true to their relationship. Mm. They either hate, find, you know, can't bear each other or they, you know, love each other. No, it's not the ickiness of that. It's just, I feel like, I don't want Brad to become wet, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't want Leonard to become bumbly.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Caricature.
Exactly.
Lovely, gentle old man.
Yeah. So you have to give him a bit
Because, like, Bert was a bit like that, but Bert then had his kind of... He could be a little bit spiky sometimes in his run-ins with Joe and all that. And Leonard's just unremittingly national treasure Paddington Bear, isn't he, at the minute?
Yes, exactly. Mm. Which is totally fine, but as long as he doesn't become boring with it. Yeah. And same with Brad. We don't want him ever, you know, it would be all, you know, Brad and Chelsea could never become boring, but, you know, well, let's give, why don't we give Brad a bit of a, what's the word, you know, angle, or what's the word, like a sharp edge or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to play with.
Yeah. Yes, no, he is too soft, isn't he? A little bit too soft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, I'm just literally racking my brains for stuff to say about this week. I have nothing.
I got it completely wrong, and Eric is not Norwegian, obviously. Neither is Jakob.
You don't need to beat yourself up about it.
Sweden! I was so vociferous last week, and I was so determined I was right, as always. And so very, very wrong.
I know, but you were so gutted about it. I was like, I don't think people mind. You weren't vociferous. You weren't. You weren't adamant. You did say, I think. You didn't say, he most certainly is. I've seen his birth certificate.
You jolly well take that back, Carmichael. Anyway, we've had a letter from a Norwegian.
Hurrah!
Who wishes to remain nameless.
Oh, God. Says, what's it say?
Did you know you have a listener from Norway? Well, you do. Now, I can quite categorically say that Eric is not Norwegian, but his brother might be. Eric is spontaneous, open and fun, which isn't at all Norwegian. Also, he didn't make a point of asking Kate to take off her shoes when she came in the cottage, which is a dead giveaway. Jakob, on the other hand, is deliberate, guarded and private, so I'm going to mark him down as a maybe. Now, here's the crunch. The scriptwriters told us Jakob is part Swedish when he first arrived in Ambridge. Right, that's enough pedantry for one night. I'm off to shovel snow and polish my horny helmet, he says.
Oh, wow. We've got an actual Viking.
An actual Viking.
This is excellent.
Yep.
And is they Norwegian, or do they just live there?
I think they just live there.
Right.
But they probably don't want their name mentioned for the fear of pissing off the other Vikings who will come after them and
the
punish
Swedes.
Them.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, that's so cool. Mm. I was talking about Norway with my friend yesterday because she's going, because she loves Iceland.
Right.
And we were saying, do you say Iceland or Iceland?
Depends whether you talk about the supermarket or the country,
exactly.
I think.
Exactly. Anyway, because Iceland's... I've been to Iceland. I loved it so much. And she was saying I should go to Norway.
Mm.
And I would love... I love all that Scandi stuff.
There you go. You can go and visit our Viking.
Yes.
There. Becky Sheaves, who lives on a real farm called Cuckoo Down Farm.
Oh, yeah, in Devon.
Yes.
Do you remember I looked it up? Looks amazing.
Yeah. Totally agree with you. The forest garden is bonkers, although I kind of want one. As my husband says when ranting at Radio 4, 12 artichokes and a quince tree, what are the other 66 million people going to eat? Yes. Oh, God. Well, at least we didn't have that this week, did we?
Oh, we didn't have edible... No, because Kirsty had other ideas. Oh, no, it's not, it's not Kirsty's edible garden, is it? It's Adam's.
Well, Kirsty had her own edible
garden. Oh, Adam was being
going on, didn't she?
Adam is the least affectionate uncle. You can... Yeah. Oh, well, I'll have a word with Nolitando.
Hello, Nolitando.
Can you imagine? She'd be like, hi. Yeah, no, everything's... Yeah, I'm fine.
Everything's
thanks.
A bit shit.
Okay, can you pass me back to Mum? Thanks. Bye. Can you imagine that Adam trying to be a sympathetic uncle?
But it wouldn't happen. He'd go, so, how are things with you? But anyway, here, I'm so tired.
How should I talk about my edible garden?
I bet you're desperate to know what's going on here, Nolitando. Well, I'm packing leeks and I've had this brilliant idea.
we didn't get any edible garden.
None of that. Lucy Traves said... that she's too scared to try the feet socks because she said, what if I end up with just stumps?
Oh, stop it now.
Mm. Anyway, secondly, my pal Peter, a retired professor himself, sent me this very cross text yesterday. How do you get from Ambridge to Oxford for a dinner date and get home the same evening? Ooh. How does Brad even get to Hollerton Junction? They are stretching my imagination. Well, I also thought this, especially because he has no money.
But maybe he got like a super advanced ticket for a quid.
Okay.
Or, do you remember, back in the day, you could get from London to Oxford for a quid on that Oxford bus. Can't remember what it was called. But he got the train, didn't he? I don't know. Tis the answer.
Well, but I hope there is a point to that.
But knowing Brad, he probably does have a savings account.
Oh, yes.
And,
yes.
You know, he's very... he's.
I've put all my birthday money
he's very
in it
sensible.
Since I was 6 months old.
Exactly, yeah, mm. Yeah. I bet he's financially...
Yes.
...okay to support himself.
And Chelsea emotionally blackmails him into plundering it every now and again so she can go and get her roots done or something. Yes. And now, let's not go over to Radio Borsetshire.
Okay.
But we're going to Jane.
Oh, yes, we've got...
Yes. This is by special request of Miss Carmichael last week, who said, please, can we do it? Please, can we do it? So, of course, we did it.
I want to put the bodice on again, Lucy. I want to put my hoop skirt on.
So, yes, we're going instead to Jane Austen's Borchester. It is a truth universally acknowledged that when a gentleman such as Ardil Shah comes upon a village like Ambridge and overhauls the style mausoleum that is Gay Grables, then he must have a grand party to which the whole of society is invited. Bunting is arranged, llamas are kept at a discreet distance, and all of Borsetshire is flapping with excitement.
Mrs. Woolley, can I get you anything? How good of Mr. Shah to wheel you in so you could see Gay Grables. But you don't recognise the old place, all the new touches of luxury, and a roof. Apparently Mr. Shah is planning...
Emma, get along with you. Mrs. Woolley does not want to hear gossip. Although, our dear Fanny wrote to us earlier this week from Little Croxley, where someone had a new bonnet, so that has kept us scandalised. Oh, I cannot wait for our dear Fanny to return home.
Yeah, Ed said he was looking forward to seeing a bit of Fanny.
Now, who is that fat baldy over there promising Lady Elizabeth Lower Loxley that she can see his regalia?
That's Captain Vince Casey. He's come along with Corporal Jacob Hackinson. That's him, the one with a face like a slapped arse.
Emma, what a distinguished-looking young man Corporal Hackinson is. I understand he has quite 2,000 a year and a house in Licky End.
Fair Brother Phaetons can get you from Borchester to Bath in the most stylish of manners. We have new, open-sided, low-slung phaetons for ease of alighting while still being able to be seen by all the right people. Or if you'd like a more exciting and intimate drive, you can choose from our selection of curricles, most of which have a seat. Guaranteed arrival within 3 days of being asked for, as long as it's not windy, rainy, too hot or too cold. Send for Fairbrother Phaetons for the ride of your life. Please be aware that if you have one too many clarets and hoy down the side, then the charge will be incurred.
In the corner of the ballroom, two men stand. One, a handsome, proud and haughty man, who looks as though someone has recently broken wind, and next to him, a shorter, fatter, baldy man, who has.
You're not enjoying the attention then, Corporal Atkinson. Ardil certainly invited everyone.
I tire of the social pleasantries, and have not yet been required to save anyone from their horse bolting, or had to go to Bath for a timely visit so that a dull friend of my cousin could pine for me.
Are you going to get off with Lily then, or what? Well, there's always Krusty if you can cope with the endless drama.
There is only one girl sufficiently accomplished to enable me to enjoy a country romp such as this, and she, I believe, is at Little Croxley. Oh, how I miss Fanny. However, I think they have started the Gay Gordons. Should you not go and dance? I see Dan Hebden Lloyd is remarkably good at it.
He is, and there he is, dancing with his erstwhile acquaintance. Did you not know he was a friend of Dorothy?
Doesn't surprise me. I've heard he's excessively fond of balls. But who is this extraordinary young woman approaching us? The one with bits of twig in her hair.
Ah, that's Miss Madicani Aldridge. She dances exquisitely, if you can get past the pog of patchouli.
Good evening, gentlemen. You are, I presume, Mr. Hackinson. Do you not find any of us to your liking, sir?
The noisy clatter of a bucolic festival is not for me, Miss Madicani Aldridge. But if you wish to dance, then pray, allow me to accompany you.
I should like it above all things, especially as Lord Royston of Tucker is looking in my direction, and I'm not going there again.
And for myself, I should go and ask that lady over there to join me in a quadrille or the disabled toilets.
Captain Casey crosses the room to where a slightly untidy lady stands, delicately sniffing a nosegay and cramming canapes into her gob.
You up for a dance, my mate?
I would be delighted, sir, but I am somewhat encumbered by these wellies.
But what delightful wellies they are, madam, and how well do they match your eyes?
Sir, the nimbleness of your feet is surely matched by the agility of your tongue.
Oh, you've heard that, have you?
I have indeed, sir. It explains why Elizabeth's still hanging around you like a fly on a cowpat. But I warn you, I must leave soon to be up betimes for milking and that.
Then let us pop out into the conservatory, refresh ourselves with a little sit down and a quick fiddle about.
Go on then.
Miss Madicarne Aldridge struggles to make conversation with the hacky Mr. Hortenson, the haughty Mr. Hackinson, as they glide around the floor. Both excellent dancers, they are in total unison, apart from what appears to be a mutual desire to punch each other's lights out.
So, Miss Madicarne Aldridge, you dance very well for a country clodhopper.
Thank you, sir. I have travelled extensively, scattering children like dust as I roam.
How many do you have?
Children? There's two brown ones and a white one. But as to their whereabouts, sir, I am at a loss. However, it is no matter. They are being well cared for. Probably.
I see.
And you, sir, what are your circumstances?
Well, I own two houses, three carriages, two footmen and Dorset. I fill my days with brooding darkly, wearing a wet shirt, being rude yet sexy, and shooting liberals.
Well, you'll find good hunting in Borsetshire, although liberals are scarce.
I see. Forgive me, madam, but you seem to be indiscreet, loud, forward, and lacking in all the qualities required of a gentlewoman.
I knew you'd like me once you got to know me.
Happily, the dance is now ending, madam. I trust I will see you neither in this world nor the next.
Oh, don't be so grumpy, Mr. Hackinson. Don't go. Thomas Croker and his Borsetshire bass boys are just tuning up. Mr. Hackinson!
To the alarm of the assembled company, from the conservatory comes the unmistakable sound of a Brummy abattoir owner engaging so thoroughly in sexual congress that he's pushed a grand piano through a plate glass window.
Sorry, missus!
As he sits among the wreckage of his ballroom, surrounded by bits of piano, smashed glasses of hock and what appears to be offal, Mr. Shah wonders whether the new owners of Gay Grables may be having a bit of a laugh with him.
So it says here, thank you, Febreze, and Febreze wasn't in it. So thank you, us, for doing it.
Febreze should have been in it, actually. Yes. Imagine Febreze in that ballroom. Borsetshire sounds like, you know, a sort of one of those spa towns that the Georgians would have had balls in.
Yes, does.
I feel like it probably, you know, Ambridge in Austin times is a very plausible book.
Yeah, it would have been like a...
Jane might have written.
Yeah, it would have been like the local watering hole where everybody gathered. Because all those places started off, I mean, they started off as because of the spa, but they were the main market towns, weren't they? They were the places where people would come to trade.
And do we know if Borsetshire is all sandstone? Does it have, you know, that old bank that's now the food bank?
Yes.
Is that like a beautiful sort of Georgian, orangey type building?
Yes.
I'd like to think it is now.
Yes.
Okay.
And how an appalling in it. That it's having to feed. Anyway, never mind.
Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that, guys. Yes. If you want more Austin or period archers, do write,
then,
do tell Lucy. Because I do. I can't get enough of it.
You made a very hilarious not typo, whatever the equivalent of a cock up, I think. Last week you said you wanted a restoration drama, but you called it a resurrection drama. So I mentioned Jesus clambering back off the cross again. So I'm back, that's the drama.
Come on, Lucy, we can do the resurrection for Easter. Yeah, that's what I want, though.
Okay.
Forever.
Resurrection. Okay.
Forever.
Okay. Can you do the bit in red now?
Oh, yeah. Sure I can. Let me just find out something. How's your... washing machine. It's still broken in it. Sorry, I'm just
playing.
I'm filling while I find the script. Thank you, Febreze. If you would like to visit patreon.com and look up Ambridge on the Couch, you can support us at any subscription level. Our next Patreon Zoomathon is on the 21st of February. And as it's nearish to Valentine's Day, we would like you to submit by the 14th of February a love poem about a character in The Archers, if you would like to. It's not essential, is it, to join the Zoom?
It's not compulsory, no.
It could be a limerick or a Roses Are Red poem, but not anything longer than that because life is short. The judge of the poems will be Kerry Davis, and the winner will receive a limited edition Ambridge on the Couch mug. It'll probably arrive in end of April, I reckon. You can find us on Facebook. Oh, no, you do this all. You do this bit.
You can find us on Facebook. On Twitter at On Ambridge. Febreze is at Fabulous Febreze, or you can email us at ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com. Just before we go,
yeah.
What are your... Because I think, we both think, don't we, that next week is going to be a bit of a biggie.
Biggie,
because
yeah.
This was a bit of a smallie.
A smallie, yeah.
So, what
said Kirsty when comparing the... Well, anyway.
Oh, no. You're quite a biggie, Eric.
Was he a biggie, Kirsty? I'm just interested to know that.
I've been.
Are they very similar?
If I show you a picture of Jakob, I've been listening to Annabelle Dowler doing a show, a Monica Dickens program called My Turn to Make the Tea, which is about her experiences, a fictionalized version of her experiences in a local newspaper office. It's very 1950s.
Is it an audiobook?
Quite twee. No. It's on sounds. And Annabelle Dowler is playing a Liverpudlian showgirl, and she is really wellying it up.
And
great. It's hilarious just to hear her sound so cheerful because she's like a kind of a real proper showgirl. She gets pissed. She's flashing her legs around. She's, come on, darling, let's go and do this. And it's so unlike Kirsty, and it really makes me laugh. It's so nice to hear her be cheerful.
My turn to make the tea.
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to subscribe.
So my predictions are that something bad is going to happen to Jenny.
Yeah.
I don't think the London thing will be to do with Rory. I think it's a Jenny thing, not a Rory thing.
Okay.
I think that Lee and Helen will split up. Lee will go to California.
Yeah, I think that is going to happen.
Or he'll suggest that all of them go to California. And that won't happen.
No.
And
the girls will... I love these predictions. Yeah, really committing to the prediction. It'll be this or this.
Or I'm definitely they'll just come sure and live with them. Something is going to happen.
I feel like... My prediction is the Archers will continue.
Do you think? At least till next Sunday. You're probably right. Yeah.
I'm tempted to look up next week, but I don't want to.
I know. I don't. That feels like cheating to me.
It is cheating. But do you think Eric's... Do you think that was it? Do you think Eric was just a guest spot?
Yes.
I mean... Yeah. Okay, so...
I think it was the rehabilitation of Krusty, so we can all stop worrying about her now. Because we know she's had her leg over.
Yeah.
She's all happy.
She's rejuvenated.
She's rejuvenated and she's back in the game.
And Kate has realised how much she loves Jakob.
Who is now going to dump her because he's had sex
and she's going to South Africa.
Equine person. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or Kate will dump Jenny won't be with us for very much longer. Brian will be on his own in the cottage then, and Kate will move into the cottage with Nolitando.
Oh yeah, that's quite interesting, Lucy. Yeah, I mean that's the thing about this week. I found it a bit not boring at all, but just a bit quiet.
Lots was being set up, though.
But yeah, lots of things being set up.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is always good, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think there'll be a complaint about Justin for aggressive selling.
Oh right, yeah. Okay, that'll be good. Yeah.
Yes.
Cool.
Okay.
Thanks
now,
for that,
we're
Lucy.
Going to play out with a repeat of Matt Rodriguez Payne's Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, theme,
because it was so nice and it
beauty.
Made you all overexcited last time.
Thank
so let's
you.
Make Harriet all overexcited again. Talking of overexcited,
already.
How was the weekend away?
Oh, yeah, it was very nice, actually. Thank you,
was
Lucy,
it?
For asking. It was, actually.
Are you pregnant
yeah.
again?
No. Thank God. No. No, 100% not.
Okay,
but, yeah, no, very nice. Very nice, actually. It was a lovely hotel. And it was only 20 minutes away from my sister. I mean, it wasn't quite long enough, that was the thing. Mm. We realised we were there for not that long. Oh. And so by the time you really start having a great time...
Yes.
You've got to go back to the kids.
Yes.
But also we did that thing of like, I was so looking forward to like having a break and, you know, just being the two of us. And then as soon as we got there, we're like, oh, it's a shame the kids aren't here. But that's good as well. It makes you miss them.
Yeah. And you go around taking photos of things saying, look at this, look at this. And they're like, if you wanted us there, you could have just asked. We're like, well, no, actually we don't.
No, but it's very nice. Thank you for asking.
Oh, good.
All good. Good.
Good. Good. Okay, right. You ready for Pride and Prejudice?
Yes. Can't wait.
Brace, brace, brace.
That is Matt's finest work.
Isn't it lovely?
Ever. So joyful. It really yes. puts a spring in your step. And
yep.
a glow in your heart.
Yes.
Oh, Matt, that's so lovely.
And
thank
the first
you for playing it again.
Crocus is out in my garden. So that wow. is also cheering because it means that spring is not that far
Yay.
Away. So we can all get some sun and we don't have to watch Ralph.
Oh,
little.
I just Hoorah. Can't wait. I can't wait, Lucy. I hate. I mean, it's January the 21st. That has to be one of the crappiest days of the year, doesn't it? But but life's all the better for Matt's music. Thank
yes.
you, Matt.
Thank you.
Oh, amazing.
Yes.
Thanks, Lucy.
So get working on your poems, people. And
get working on your poems.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
We'll see you next week to discover that none of our predictions have come true. Absolutely none.
I can't wait. And yes, send in any recommendations for cheering TV.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Sunny telly. Okay.
Okay. Cheers, guys. Later,
Bye.
Love, Lucy.
Bye.